Amen. Rowan told me that he can run real fast. I said, yeah, but we're just not going to do that in the church. It's okay. I'm glad he can run really fast, though. That's awesome. Well, today we are going to take an opportunity to see what we may have learned over these last 6 weeks as we've gathered together. God's Word is filled with wonderful reminders for us of where we've been and where we need to be going. In Deuteronomy 11:2, it says, "Remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experience with Him. Some things in this life, the only way we learn them is through experience. We can't learn them in any other form or fashion. Experience is the greatest teacher." We could have taught a full year on the value of community, fellowship, God's family, the importance of being together, how we need each other, but it's until we actually practice that that it then shows in such a wonderful way. You can, in fact, experience this wonderful Greek word that we have. One of our Sunday school classes is named after it. It's called koinonia. It means being committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ and His world. Many of us would say that we actually picked up something new over these last 40 days. The Bible says, "Remember what you've learned about the Lord through your experience with Him." We can go ahead and circle the word "remember." Why does God want us to remember? It's so that we don't have to keep learning over and over again. So, for our review today, what did we learn about worshiping together? Matthew 18:20 says, "Wherever two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you." We learn first that worship can take place anywhere we've got two or three people together. Corporate worship. You don't have to just come to a church building in order to be a part of that worship. A lot of folks may think the only time they worship is if, in fact, they come to a service on a weekend, on a Sunday. But God says, you can worship wherever you find yourself with two or three. In fact, He says, anywhere we gather in His name, God is there in the midst of them, and we can worship. God is with us all the time. He's with us when we take those specific times and we are able to sense His presence. And we can do that so much better if we're in the presence of others. We also learned that worship is about celebration. The Scripture says, "Oh God, you are the one who rides on the clouds, and we praise you. Your name is the Lord. We celebrate as we worship you." Go ahead and circle celebrate. God says, "I want worship to be an opportunity that is not only meaningful for you, but it also should be fun. It needs to be a celebration." Worship is to be a festival, not a funeral. We are not the first church of the frigid air. It's so cold the ushers skate up and down the aisle on ice skates, and you have to look in front of the pulpit to make sure that there's nobody up there yet. It's God's frozen chosen. We've been called for more than that. We want worship to be a festive occasion, one that brings honor and glory to Him. We want to celebrate. God says, "I want you to enjoy my presence." God is a great God. When we understand how great He is in worship, one of the things it does is it shrinks our problems. Problems seem so big until you go to worship. And then when you go to worship, you say, this God that we serve that's so big, He's big enough to handle whatever it is that I'm walking through right now. It shrinks the problem down to size. It doesn't mean there's not a problem there. It just puts it in a proper perspective. So we're going to begin even today by looking at how great God is. We certainly have been recalled that it is about worshiping together, that God is great, and every time we express love to God, that is, in fact, worship. And worship is a whole lot more fun with other people than just by ourselves. Judd would be very hard-pressed to only have one other person in the choir. I mean, he could do it, but it'd be really hard to sing all the parts if there was only one. There's something about doing things together that not only enforces but lives out what worship looks like. It lifts our spirits. So, what have we learned about fellowship? Certainly, we've learned more about worship and this thing we call fellowship. There are a couple of truths out of Scripture that come to mind in that department as well. We belong to each other, and we need each other. Romans 12:5 says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Over and over again, we have been able to find that truth in God's Word. God never meant for you to go through life by yourself. God never meant for you to walk through life alone. Whether you marry, even as early as Friday evening at 4:30, or whether you're not married, that is not the point of this particular passage of Scripture. The point is, we need a spiritual family that's going to be there in both the good and the rough times. Remember that illustration of the redwood trees? Huge, huge example of God's direction in nature. They go 400 feet tall, but yet their root system doesn't even compare anything like that underneath the surface. They get by being intertwined together, standing close to each other. Now, if you go out to Clarence and Diana Wright's, those trees aren't quite 400 feet tall, but I think the same premise applies. You go right down that lane, right before you get to their house, you've got these trees standing on both sides. They're standing there like a regiment of soldiers before you. I actually did that in the night there last night, and it was amazing to see how they are in place at all times on both sides of that street. There is something about us being together that allows us to be stronger than we could ever be on our own. We need to hold each other up through the storms, the wind, and the fires of life. We need each other, and we in fact certainly do belong to each other. God says, if you summarize the whole Bible, it's like this. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a vertical relationship. There's a horizontal part of life. You have a relationship to God. You have a relationship to others. You learn to love God. You learn to love others. If you do that, God says, you are on the right track. Life is all about relationships to God and to each other. We also learned that during these relationships, we have to work at them. They're not always easy. During the 40 days of community, I'm sure there were times when you didn't feel like going to your small group. You'd rather have just stayed at home, laid on the couch, but you got up, you went anyway. And not only were you blessed, but you were a blessing to others there in that group. It does take effort. James 3:18 reminds us, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. James reminds us, it says, it takes hard work. There is hard work involved in building relationships, in building community. But the benefits are far worth the effort, because we then have people who are in our lives walking through life together. Now, if you really want to know what's going on in some people's lives, ask them about how they met their spouse. Or talk to them about how that came to be and how it might have been a little bit rough to start with, or things were said that may not be what was then said the rest of their life together in different ways. But the only way you can find that out is if you spend time with them and you get to hear what's going on and what has gone on in their lives, and they get to do the same with you. The Bible says it's good and pleasant when God's children dwell together in unity. When there is community, God says it's good. That means it's beneficial and it's pleasant. That means it's pleasurable. We celebrate today the fact that our community continues to increase as we have spent time together. So how about growing together? What are some of those things that have come not only about worshiping and fellowshipping, but this idea of growing in our relationships together and in our lives together? We don't just grow by what we hear. We grow by what we learn. We don't grow just by going to Bible studies. It's by putting into practice what we've heard. The Bible says, be doers of the word. We all have the opportunity to grow as we stretch our physical muscles of working together and learning together and living together. You don't grow by sitting down and reading a book on bodybuilding. You could sit there and have your Pringles and Coke and read every page. You could underline a few chapters. You might even memorize a few verses of a bodybuilder book, but it's not going to build your body at all. The only way you build it is by putting it into practice and actually doing something about it. So, we learned that we grow faster and we grow stronger together. In fact, it's very hard for us to grow spiritually by ourselves. You can get lots of head knowledge. You can amass great information, but that's not what God considers growth. In Ephesians 2:21, it says it this way, we who believe are carefully joined together with Christ as parts of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for God. So this idea of together and constantly growing. We grow by being connected. If you cut off a hand and just lay it over there, it's not going to be much benefit to the body. We cannot grow apart from the body, which is the family of God, the body of Christ. We need to be connected, and we grow faster and stronger in that way. But also, the second thing there, the Scripture tells us, the work must continue until we're all joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become a mature person, growing until we become like Christ. and have His perfection. This idea of until we become like Christ. God says we become mature. And what is maturity? Like Christ. And what is Christ? Perfection. So, have any of you out there reached perfection yet? There's still needs in our life in order to strive for that direction. We will never grow into perfection until we get to heaven. In heaven, God's going to finish the task of growth in your life, and He's going to make you perfect in heaven. But He wants you to get as far along the way as you can while you're still here. He says, do that by being in connection with other believers, other members of the family of God. Then you become more and more like Jesus Christ. One of the other things we learned about growth during 40 days of community is that growth is a choice. You're as close to God as you choose to be. If you're not growing spiritually, if you're just a spiritual baby, then we don't need to look too far to see the root of that issue. It's your choice. You're as close to God as you choose to be, and you can choose to grow. Growth is a daily choice. It's every day. Every day. How often is it that you eat food? Okay, a lot. But it's every day. I can't just make one choice and say, for the rest of my life, I'm going to keep growing. No, we have to make the daily choice and say, every day, I choose to follow God. Along with our growing together, we have certainly talked about serving together. It's really the heartbeat of these weeks that we've spent together. We all need to be served, and we all need to serve others. First, we have to understand, and what we've learned is that we have to serve. We have to serve each other, and in that process, we have to be served ourselves. You've got to learn to accept help from other people. If you can't accept help, then you can't offer it to anybody else. It works both ways. If you've never helped anybody, then you're missing out on this idea that we are serving and learning together. You were designed to give and receive help all the time, to serve and to be served, to share and to be shared with. So we've talked about our responsibilities in this family of God. What is the responsibility that I have in the family of God? It certainly involves a daily connection with Him. It does involve loving one another, caring for one another, helping one another, serving one another. The Bible is filled with one another passages that remind us of our responsibilities. Throughout the New Testament, over 40 times, there are one another's that give us a clue on how we do this together. When I'm down, you're supposed to help pull me up. When you're down, I'm supposed to help pull you up. We serve each other. We give and we receive. Galatians 6:10 says, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. Let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. That's a great picture of what the family of God is. It's the church. He's saying, you've got to care about everybody, but you start with those closest to you in the church family, in your small group. A couple of our families have come up to me this morning. They said, we got a call from the church secretary that we needed to be home between 5 and 5:30 today because something was coming. Well, that wasn't my small group. So all I could tell them was, I think maybe they're doing something that was connected with what they were studying in their small group. So just be there and we'll see what that's about. But what great opportunity to work together for the benefit of all. The two most dangerous words you can pray are these. Use me. When you say, God, use me, get ready to have your socks blessed off, because God is looking for people to use. There's also a one-word prayer that's very dangerous. Whatever. Whatever, God, you want me to say, I'll say it. Whatever you want me to give, I'll give it. Whatever you want me to think or go, wherever, whatever, I'll do. When we come to that point in our lives, this God, whatever, then we begin to experience life as it was meant to be lived. Life is a journey. Life is an adventure. Life is the thrill of a lifetime roller coaster ride of God saying, you said whatever, here we go, buckle up. We're on the journey again. So we're learning to say this in our lives. God, whatever, I'll serve in little ways, big ways, any way in between. And that's how we grow, and that's how we serve. And then this idea of reaching out together. We do worship together. We fellowship together. We grow together. We serve together. But praise the Lord, we reach out together. Eddie stole my thunder. My example today was the Code Blue incident Friday night when Eddie just was over there mixing his life with a bunch of other youth that are here in our community. And in the midst of that, he was in the right place at the right time to do this thing of reaching out together, of always being ready to share the good news of who Jesus is. And Eddie was saying, he says, but you know, it's, he says, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm saying the right thing. Or I think back and I wonder, well, what if I, or could it have been? You were right where you needed to be, Eddie. And God used you in an amazing way of just speaking into another person's life. Sarah Cobb has a great story this week, too, of a simple question of just asking, how was your Halloween, with a fifth grader that she was tutoring? And he said, oh, you know, doing okay. And he says, how was yours? And so she was mentioning that a young man came by her house to that she knew and wanted to know. You know, he came to the house, and she offered him all the different kinds of candy that were available to him, and he decided one of each was probably the best choice, and so he picked a great selection there, and saw a broom on her porch, and he said, now, does that broom go with a witch? No, no, it's actually a broom that we use to sweep the front porch with. It doesn't have anything to do with a witch. And so this fifth grader was saying, well, how did you know this young man? And Sarah says, well, it's not one that I have in my nursery. It's one that I teach at church in Sunday school. And so the fifth grader said, there are classes at church? So I said, oh, yes, yeah, there are classes where we learn about God and, you know, have a connection there. And said, in fact, one of your relatives I had in class many, many years ago in the very same church I'm going to now. And he was baptized while he was here at the church and attending. And so this fifth grader says, well, what's baptism? So, well, it's a place where the preacher dunks you in water up front and brings you back up, and it's a public decision to let everybody know that you're serving Jesus. And he had no clue about what all that was about. And Sarah just took the opportunity to share who Jesus was. So it was a tutoring session that had far more implications than whatever they were studying. We reach out together. Real religion, James 1:27 says, the kind that passes muster before God the Father is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. God says, the test of your faith is not what you know. The test of your faith is not what you say you believe. The test of your Christianity is how you treat other people. That's it. Specifically, those who need help. He says, I'm looking to see not what you say you believe or what you know, but the real test of your faith is this: do you love people enough to help when they're down? And then Romans 10 gives us this reminder: anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on Him to save them unless they believe Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him, and here it is, unless somebody tells them? Sarah, Eddie, thank you for telling them. Thank you for being just one of those many to be able to still say that God loves us, that He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that we live that out by speaking that truth. Many of you know that Billy Graham turned 95 just the other day. I believe it was November 7th. They had a worldwide event where not only Fox Channel, but many other broadcasting networks displayed a 20-some minute video called The Cross. And in that video, not only do we hear from Billy Graham, but remember I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you hear from a Christian rapper and Billy Graham all in the same 20-minute span, which probably doesn't happen every day of the week. We showed this last Sunday night also. I have several copies of this available. And the whole purpose is that you would invite people to your house and you would sit down and watch the video presentation. And then there is a packet of information that if any of those individuals have never received Christ or they're just on their journey with the Lord, that you can then follow up and give them some materials on what it means to follow Christ. What a great opportunity that's been presented to us here just recently on how we can continue to share God's good news together. So, as we have looked at what we've learned, now what? Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. He said, don't stop doing what you're doing. Keep meeting together. We need to stay in a group, or we need to have that opportunity to connect with another group. So certainly we are continuing to offer small groups on Wednesday night. We'll be going back to 6 p.m. And then after Christmas break, we even would love to consider continuing small groups on Sunday night. After our evening service called PBC Mosaic, it would be a great opportunity for us to continue to meet together in small groups. There is something else that we will be doing. Out of Philippians 4:9, it says, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard, and the God of peace will be with you. The Bible reminds us that we are to keep doing these things. The Apostle Paul was encouraging his early listeners to keep doing the things. And then ultimately, one of the greatest privileges we have is to pray for other churches. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says it this way: pray that the Master's word would simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response. Our greatest thing that we can do next is that we continue to pray for others that find themselves on this journey as well. Some 140 churches find themselves in Barber County. We get to be praying for them also. We pray for their communities of faith. We pray for their leadership, for their opportunities to share this good news to the some 15,000 or so that find themselves not only in Barber County, but then as this message continues to be shared around the world. Let us be about our Father's business to continue on this journey that He's called us together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You are still investing in Your church. You are allowing Your Word to speak to us, that as we continue to worship and fellowship and grow and serve and tell others about who You are, we do that together. And Lord, may be that very thing that speaks in our lives, let it be what encourages us, gives us hope, and allows us to move forward in Your journey. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.